Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junton. We're here with a special guest. He is Oakland Athletics prospect and former second round draft selection. Is that good? You tell me. But most importantly, he was a former member of the Wagon Michigan Wolverines. It is my pleasure to welcome Jeff Criswell to the Official Unofficial Podcast. How are we doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you having me on. So I'm excited for today. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And like I said, as you can see with the hoodie here, I'm a big Michigan guy. We got to pat some things out here. All right. So I had Lugbauer on, right? And this was a while ago. I said, what the hell do I have to do to somehow figure out a way to weasel a first pitch at the University of Michigan? I even said, I'll bargain, maybe just the retweet from the Twitter account. No acknowledgement. We've had Jordan Wogu on. We've had Drew Lugbauer. And now we have you. Can you somehow weasel maybe an acknowledgement on the Twitter? Like, what's going on there?
100%. I got you. No doubt about it. I used to know the person who ran the social media account. I don't know who's doing it right now, but I'll shoot him a DM and make sure that they get you some likes and some retweets and some stuff like that.
That's why you're my guy now. Like that's why I respect it. And like I said, man, I said this to Lugbauer, your season's, I'm assuming it's almost done. Lugbauer is going to be done soon. Michigan, Indiana, November. What's your thought process on that? Are we going to be firing it? Am I driving from Toronto there? Or what's the deal?
Yeah, the Wolves are hot. I like Michigan football. They have, to say this, I don't know, in the best way possible, they've let us down the past couple of years.
That's an understatement. Yep.
But watching some of the young talent, man, watching them play this year, they're running the ball really, really well. And it looks like they got some stuff maybe in their back pocket. So I would definitely make the trip. I mean, Michigan, you said it, is that game's in Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah, it's in Ann Arbor in November. Me and Lugbauer already planned it. And I mean, I told Lugs, I mean, we're going to have to weasel you into that. I mean, it's going to be – I'm going to pretty much be telling people I played Michigan baseball. It's going to be me, you, Lugbauer. We're going to be absolutely grinding. But I'm just going to shoo you in as a – we'll see. I mean, do you live in Michigan in the offseason?
So typically I do. I'm playing out here in Arizona for the fall. So we have, like, instructional league and then – the fall league following that. So I'm going to actually be in Arizona for pretty much the rest of the fall into December. So I don't know. I won't be able to make that game, but we are supposed to be done. I believe it's around the 20th or the 25th of November. And that's
Ohio State game.
So that's kind of my goal, is to be able to make it back for that one. And then, you know, I'm typically in Arizona for the off season, but definitely got to make my trips back to
Arizona. Is my favorite state of all time. Like I've said this countless times on the podcast, you want to talk about the best state ever. It does get uncomfortably warm, but it's just so beautiful. Just the scenery, all that kind of stuff. You're close to Vegas. Arizona's undefeated. So how heartbroken was your family? I mean, being a guy from Michigan, I'm assuming like your family's like, what are you doing in Arizona? I mean, do you miss the winters? Like what's the deal with that? You miss the winters?
It's hard. I miss the change of season, right? So like kind of now-ish, you know, it's like the perfect time in Michigan.
Yes.
You get the fall coming in, the leaves are changing colors, all that. You know, I do miss that. I do miss throwing on the skates, maybe a little bit in the winter, kind of some stuff like that. But, you know, it's beautiful out here in the winter, man. Like you can't really beat 70, 75 degrees in the winter. So now it's kind of more one of those things where I really enjoy going back. And you know, seeing the family, being around Christmas time, you know, you love snow on Christmas, kind of that deal. Really nice to go back then. But my parents and my sister have been out a couple times to Arizona. They like it as well. You know, they completely understand why, you know, I choose to spend some time out here in the off season.
I don't blame you, man. And if this podcast continues to grow, I might be living there. Like I'm fucking absolutely done with this Canadian winter shit. It's dead to me. But no, and I wanted to go into your high school because you're a Michigan kid through and through, right? You grew up obviously there. You were born there, all that kind of stuff. And you committed to the big school there, the older brother of Michigan State, as we call it. How cocky were you in high school or were you known as that kid? Like were kids looking at you like, that's the kid going to Michigan for baseball?
No, I don't know if I was necessarily looked at, you know, like that. I probably had a little bit too much confidence in myself than I should have. I think you can ask probably some of my teammates that freshman year at Michigan, maybe some of the coaches. I definitely came in with a little bit of probably confidence to me, but that was kind of the great thing about Michigan, right? It's humbling. You know, you're showing up on campus, eating in the same dining hall as Olympians and these like freak of nature athletes. And then I'm kind of coming in this like right-handed pitcher from Portage, Michigan. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that, like, who am I now? You know, so that's like the kind of the cool, like I said, the cool thing about Michigan and the baseball program in itself, you know, it's a good program. So you come in and you're kind of immediately surrounded by players who are better than you. And, you know, there is a good culture there and a good atmosphere to where us kind of young, we'll call us cocky high school kids get brought down a little bit, which is good. So.
So were you, when you were growing up, like, were you always going to like the big, like, how far is Portage, Michigan from the Big House? Like, is it close?
It's an hour and a half. Yeah. So it's not okay. Bad.
So are you closer to Michigan State then?
About, yeah. It's like, it's really only like 15, 20 minutes closer.
Okay. That's not bad. But like when you were a kid when you were growing up, was it Michigan or nothing for you? Or was it like other schools in like the South knocking on that door when you were in high school?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely when I started getting recruited, like that kind of the appeal of like a Southern baseball school, I think that's, you know, kind of appealing to every Northern, you know, high school baseball player. And, you know, as it kind of went out, like I was a Michigan fan growing up. So that was definitely like, okay, Michigan. And then we kind of have like some of the other Southern schools thrown in there that pique your interest. But then when I stepped on campus at Michigan, I had gone when I was younger quite a bit, like going to football games and stuff. I always remember that atmosphere.
Yeah.
But when I stepped foot on campus as like a baseball recruit, like it was completely different. Like our head coach, pitching coach, I mean, like they sold me in like 2 minutes of being there. And I was like, holy shit, like Kyle, like this is like what I want to do. This is where I want to go. And I kind of had that almost like that aha moment, or it clicked for me that it's like, you know, this is the place where I can go and still be a top, you know, round draft pick. And I can still go and be really, really good and play baseball at the highest level, you know, in college. And it doesn't necessarily need to take me, you know, 14 hours south down to wherever that would be. So, you know, like I said, there was definitely a little bit of, you know, interest there of kind of what the South has to offer for baseball. But like I said, you know, when I have, you know, stepped foot on campus, it was like Michigan all the way.
It's crazy to me because I saw an article on Twitter the other day and it's Michigan's the number one ranked public school, like public university in the United States of America, which is absolutely insane. So with the schooling there, and you could be honest here, did you feel, I don't know if you're a genius, but did you feel kind of dumb on that campus? Like even in classes with the kids? Cause it's number one public university in the nation. So there's freaks there.
Yeah, no, it was insane. Like there's definitely, you know, kind of that level of like, wow, like these kids are geniuses. And I would say like my first semester, my freshman year, it was a little bit like, okay, you know, I need to maybe put in extra work, you know, compared to, you know, some of the guys I'm sitting next to in class, just cause like, it comes a little bit easier for them. And I was a good student in high school, but not nearly as like, you know, good of a student as some of the people, right, that go there. So it was definitely a little bit of a shock that first semester, and it kind of just teaches you that, you know, you need to just put in a little bit more time than some of the other guys, or, you know, some of the other classmates that you have. But it is crazy, like, just, you know, you think you're sitting there as like a top athlete, you know, in the country or whatever for, you know, baseball, and then you have somebody sitting next to you in class who's like one of the smartest people in the country, and you're like, oh, okay, like, yeah, that's cool, right?
That's true. No, dude, it honestly, like, and the craziest thing about me was, is like, when I would go visit the campus to go watch the games and all that kind of stuff, you don't realize how massive the campus is and the dorms and the frat houses and all that kind of stuff, which is like a leeway here. I got to bring this up. Let's talk about the party scene there for a second, because I have a funny story. I told this to Lugbauer when we first had him on the show, and maybe you could attest to this. The mind prone. Does that word ring a bell? The drink mind prone or mind probe?
I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, so this is the story. So Brent Noseworthy, who was the captain of the lacrosse team there when I was there, we went to go visit him, and he just ordered mind probes or whatever the hell those things are called. Like, you don't taste the alcohol in them. I had like three or four. I almost legitimately died after this shit. What was it like? I mean, what was the party scene like for the baseball guys? Were you guys skipping lines, shit like that? Like the football guy treatment, or what's the deal?
Yeah, I'd say we had a little bit of pull.
Because Wogu said you guys got after it. Like, Jordan said you guys like had a good time there.
I'm sure he did. Yeah, Jordan was actually my roommate in college, so I lived with him and across the hall from him in the dorms, and then we lived together from sophomore year on. So I'd say if he said we got after it, I'd say that's a good representation of college. I mean, you know, I want to, I guess, kind of portray that, oh, yeah, you know, we studied really hard and,
well, it's
yeah, and all that rang true, right? But we definitely worked hard, played hard there. It was a good time. Yeah, I'd say there was a little bit of line skipping going on. Definitely more attention, to be honest, after the College World Series. Like, before, it was kind of one of those, like, oh, yeah, you know, baseball guys, sure. And then came back from the College World Series, people had been watching, and they were like, oh, yeah, sure, you know, like, go right on in. So it was fun, man. We had a great time there. That's, you know, kind of one of those things, is as close as you get with your teammates just from what you go through, you know, on the field, the 6 a.m. lifts, the practices, all that kind of stuff. I mean, really, those relationships and those lifelong bonds form off the field, to be honest. No, everybody knows that.
I say it all the time. And, like, the thing is like, you could get mad at the baseball guys for partying, and obviously this is not going to get you in legitimately any trouble. You guys are college kids. Of course you've partied in fucking university. It's like, if I'm a coach and my team's not partying or whatever, or just having a couple beers or enjoying themselves, I'm scared. It's like, there's no chemistry there. That's my thing with that. It's like, and that baseball team, you guys were so close knit, which is why you guys had so much success. Would you say that year you guys went to the College World Series was one of the the closest baseball teams you've ever been a part of?
Oh yeah. Hands down. I mean, to give you an example right now, Rutgers weekend, it's kind of like the alumni weekend. I mean, I got a group chat with like 15 dudes blowing up right now. That's like, hey, like everybody's going back this weekend. And I'm obviously here, you know, I'm doing the, you know, instructional league and stuff. So I'm not able to make it, but it's like, we haven't, you know, you make new friends and you make new relationships in professional baseball, of course, but like those relationships are still like your guy, you know, the group chats are always firing, right? You got the Instagram group chat, Snapchat, you know, text message, like, those are the guys, and that team really, especially my class, like I'd say we had a class of like 13 or 14 guys. So we had kind of like a big happy family as far as like my class. And like, yeah, I mean, these are guys that they'll be at my wedding. You know, these are the guys that I'll be friends with for the rest of my life. So it's that team especially though. I mean, when you go kind of through that postseason run with a group, you know, you can't really get any closer.
And honestly, like, so when we had Wogu on this podcast, obviously he's disgusting at the game of baseball. He's an absolute freak of nature. I could definitely tell for the people listening, he's definitely a reserved guy until he opens up to you. Because as you could tell with this podcast, I bring a shit ton of energy. I just let it fly. He was definitely more reserved because it was a little bit after the draft. What was it like living with Jordan? Because this guy, and one, I would never let my girlfriend around him. He's yoked. He's good looking. He's disgusting at the game of baseball. So right. What was living with this guy like? Is he more on the sloppy side with like the neatness, or is he a very neat dude?
No, he takes care of himself. That's like one reason we lived together. I felt like we had a pretty good balance of like, hey, you take care of your stuff, I'll take care of my stuff. And he's like I said, he's like one of my best friends. I mean, we got after it in college, right? You know, we hung out, we did everything together. And we kind of got to that point where like we, you know, we had our own stuff, but we were together like almost all the time. And, you know, he, like I said, he took care of his stuff. I took care of mine. You know, we kind of just, you know, vibed in that way to where we really didn't have any issues. But
and you could be honest here. I mean, I think he said it on the podcast, and Lugs also attested to it. He pulled in call. I mean, his DMs, especially after that College World Series, because he raked. I was looking at his stats the other day when like I'm look back on some of the guests we've had. His stats are absurd. I mean, what he was doing there was insane. Yeah. So was he one of like the top dogs on the team there? Like that, if he had an at bat with like bases loaded, second and third, any situation needed a hit, he's the guy that's gonna do it like 99% of the time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, no doubt. We had a couple guys like that too, like. And that was kind of the special thing about that team, like we call it Team 153, or that College World Series team, was like, there was I mean, honestly, I don't know if you could have picked a guy in the lineup that you're like, you know, I don't know if I want him in this situation. Like Jordan was definitely one of those primary guys. Like he hit leadoff for us. Like you said, I mean, I think he was like a career 300 hitter, which is just absurd. So he was definitely like one of those core group of guys that was like, okay, you know, guys, runners in scoring position, like JG's up, like, let's get it. I mean, I think one thing that we'll never forget is in the Big Ten tournament against Illinois, he had like two strikes on him and we walked off Illinois and he just hit an absolute laser into the gap and it's like, boom, game over. I mean, he did stuff like that where you definitely had confidence with him up at the plate. So
what is he lifetime against you in the inner squads? Like let's go into a little bit of the trash talk here. What is he lifetime against you? Me? Yeah.
I'd love to see what he has to say to this, but if I am thinking about it correctly, it's close to like one or two for probably 15, 20.
Really?
He's not a big fan of my right on right changeup. That's all I'll say.
I'll be honest with you. Not many people are. And I'm looking here and I'll pump your tires here. This is what we do on the podcast. We pump your tires. That 2019 season, and you want to talk about video game numbers. Your record was legit 7-1 with a 2.72 ERA. Are you shitting me, dude? What was going right for you that year? Like, were you the number one guy? Like, were you the Friday night guy?
No, absolutely not, actually.
Really?
I was our third best starter.
What?
Yes, I was behind Tommy Henry and Carl Kaufman, two other second-round draft picks, which would be great guys for you to, you know, get on the podcast. But so I was a sophomore that year. They were both juniors, both won the second round. Tommy was like a 91-94 command guru from the left side. Like, if you look at his numbers, I think he put up absurd numbers. Him and Carl both that year, like, broke the strikeout record at Michigan, or single-season strikeout record, I think. It was one, like something like that. They both ate up like 130 innings. I mean, there was definitely times that maybe I might've been pitching a little bit better than them. And, you know, definitely a lot of time where they were pitching better than I, but no, dude, I was the Sunday guy. So
I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure you had the lowest ERA on that team. Is that correct? Isaiah Page out of 2.75.
Yeah, I might have had the lowest ERA, but those dudes were legit.
So, and I love talking about this on the podcast. So at what point did you kind of realize, like, this is a chance here for you to pump your own tires. We're going to give you the get out of jail free card here. At what point did you kind of realize, like, man, I'm a little bit better than these people that I'm facing. Like, I have a little bit better stuff. I have the chance here to be a second round draft pick in the show. I have a chance here to be a potential major leaguer someday. Like, what? When did you realize that? Was it at Michigan? Was it earlier? Like, when did you come to that realization?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was always like that was definitely a goal of mine, right? I mean, I think it'd be stupid to say that it's not every college, you know, player's goal. And I think you'd be a little bit naive to think that every college player doesn't think that they're going to be, you know, a first or second round either. That's just kind of the mentality you have to take when you're out there. But for me personally, I think, you know, that was always a hope or a, you know, an aspiration for me. But when I got done with that College World Series team, actually, I was planning on going to the Cape and just finishing out the rest of the season in the Cape. And then I got the opportunity to play for Team USA. And that was like a huge kind of like, oh, okay, now it goes from like being in one of the best leagues for summer baseball to kind of like one of the best teams in the country, or the best team in the country. When you look at that lineup with Austin Amar and Spencer Torkelson and Heston Kerstad, I think we had the top like 7 of 8 overall picks or something. Or
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it literally, that lineup went like Austin Martin and Heston Kerstad, I think, were 1 and 2. And then Max Meyer, pitcher, was 3. Or Torque was number 1, excuse me.
Yeah, Torque was 1.
Torque won. And then Amar ended up going a little bit like 6 or something, which
was our guy on that team? Was our guy Hunter Bishop on that team?
Bish was not on that team, so he was the draft before.
Oh, the draft before.
Yeah, but then we had Alika Williams, first rounder.
Oh my God.
He's like, I'm trying to go through. I think I was literally probably one of the lower players drafted on that team. I
mean, you're second rounder.
Yeah, and it felt like literally everyone on that team was like a first rounder. I mean, Torque, obviously, he did crazy. Like, he's just fun to watch. Like, you literally just kind of sit there and like, all right, what's Torque going to do right now? Like, I got 380 foot bomb. Like that team was so loaded that when I was with those guys, Reed Detmers, who's in the show right now, like being with those guys was kind of like, okay, now I'm kind of feeling like I'm in a bit of like a higher tier than maybe I would have felt like going into that sophomore year or something like that. So I definitely still realized that I needed to have a good junior season. You know, I had by no means like made it, but I definitely felt like I had kind of separated myself a little bit after that time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that team you just mentioned is absolutely idiotic. And I believe Torkelson was in the lineup. He Hunter Bishop told a couple stories playing with Torkelson, and that kid's just a freak. I can't, that he should, he could honestly play in the show right now. And I potentially, I think with ease, I mean, that kid is a man amongst boys, bro. I mean, the fact that that guy even played, I believe he was playing A ball like last year, this year, right? Yeah. He was playing A ball this year. I feel genuinely bad for the pitchers that guy faced. I don't even know what his numbers were, but it's insane. Yeah. And I asked this to Lugs too. So when you're at Michigan, and obviously I hate Ohio State, I hate Penn State, I hate all the Big Ten schools, but when you're playing there, did you genuinely hate one team? Like, was there one team that you guys had a massive beef with? I think Wogu said Indiana. Is that correct?
Indiana, yes. Nebraska, yes. And then Ohio State, that's like kind of a given, right? Like,
yeah,
there's no way, there's no like beef there. But I had a little bit of a personal vendetta with Michigan State. Like, I don't know why, but for me growing up, like, between me and my friends, it was always like, do you like Michigan or do you like Michigan State? And like, I was always on the Michigan side, and I kind of felt like a minority there growing up. And like, all my buddies loved Michigan State. So I kind of had that like personal vendetta against them. And they also didn't offer me out of high school. They told me I wasn't good enough to play at Michigan State. So I'm dead serious. Their head coach like sat back in his chair and he looked at me and he was like, yeah, like, we just don't have any scholarship money for you. Like, we don't. Like, think
that. Yeah, dude.
Like, and I was like, okay. Like, so then after that visit was like right before Michigan. And then I was like, boom, like, all right, I'm going to Michigan. See ya. Like, so I had like a personal vendetta there. But like, as far as it felt like we always played Indiana, kind of like maybe Minnesota, and then Nebraska at like the end of the year. So it was like right when everything was getting tight. Like, everybody was either like one or two games back or one or two games up. And like, those series with like Indiana, Nebraska, Ohio State, like those being at the end of the year, they were always like just such good series, and like everybody was like bringing their A game. So that definitely kind of developed there for sure.
Yeah, no, was there any like close to bench clearing brawls or like chirps coming from dugout, stuff like that at your time there?
I wouldn't say. I wish I had a story like that. I don't think there was anything that was like, all right, we're about to get after it here. Oh no, there was actually. No, sorry. I like completely forgot about that. Jack Blomgren, my absolute, like, one of, again, second best friend here, like one, like my guy. It was sophomore year against Nebraska. I gotta like think on this for a second, because I don't know how this all like came about, but something happened, and they had this shortstop, I don't even know his name, shortstop, second baseman, he was just this prick, right? Like,
yeah,
just,
no, he was chirping. Yeah,
like, no, like, nobody liked him. Him and Blommy started chirping. They have, like, there's literally, like, the best picture in Michigan history of, like, Jack Blomgren right here, this kid. Oh, his last name was, like, Altavia or something. And then there's an umpire, like, right in between them.
I got to find this.
Just go to absolute blows. But that was, like, okay, what's going to happen right now? Because, like I said, I can't remember. I don't even remember the situation anymore. All I remember is just, like, if Blomgren gets around this umpire, like, he's the type of kid that the switch is going to flip and it's going to be bad. So it was, that one was heated, and that was like, okay, now it's on, right? Like, we gotta do something. God, I wish I remember what that beef was about. I really don't. I don't know if it was a hard tag or like a spike or something. Something was going on, but it just, I'm gonna have to ask my buddies now after this, because I remember that was definitely like a.
Oh, and wow. And this isn't a jab at Jack, but when I think of Michigan baseball, he looks like a stereotypical Michigan baseball player. I mean, it's not a chirp to him. I mean, people, if you're listening to this podcast, just search his name, search Jack Blomgren on Google, and his mugshot, he looks like a guy you craft in a factory for the Michigan Wolverines. He's a Rockies prospect, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He that's a great way to describe him. He's like, you know, he's not short by any means, but yeah, let's say he's like 6 foot tall, just yoked, like strong as all get out, scrappy, fast, can run. He steal back. Dude stole 30 bags this year in his first professional
season. Oh my God.
Like, just the toughest guy. I got a good Jack Blomgren story for you. So UCLA, super regional, my sophomore year. Jack Blomgren steals second. He slides into second. And he goes down and he like holds his hand, and we're like, oh, what's that? Like, what just happened? Like, come on now, like, Blommy, like, you're good. Like, remember that, like, if you think that you know a person who's tough, like, you haven't met him. So this dude holds up his hand and his pinky is like this.
Oh.
Like it's completely sideways. And the trainer, our trainer, Kim, she runs out. She's awesome. She runs out and Jack's holding on his finger and he's like pulling on it. And she's like, stop, like, don't pull on it. Don't like it. Broken in half. She's like, don't like, stop pulling on your finger. So I'm in the dugout. I'm sitting there like wide eyed. Like this kid's like, this is our starting shortstop. We're in like game. I can't remember if it's like game two or game three or something of the UCLA Super Regional. And our starting shortstop just broke his pinky. So he looks at our trainer in the dugout, and I don't want to use like the exact language, but he just yells, just put some effing tape on it. And we're all like, oh my God, what is going on? So they're like trying to like, hey, get a sub in. Like, no, somebody got to, and he's like, no, like no, nobody run out on the field. Like nobody take a step out on the field. So our trainer is literally just like, I'm not even supposed to do this, but like, he's yelling at me like, okay, where's the tape? So she literally, you know, tapes his two fingers together and he just jogs back out there. I think he went up to his next AP and like slapped a base hit. And we were
oh
just,
my God.
We were just like, all right. So this kid, like, I don't know what it's called, but he doesn't feel pain. Like that's like basically the thing. I mean, he's literally the toughest kid. He's one of the kids that's like that age old question of like, if you had to bring one guy to a bar fight, who would it be? He's up, like he's a top two and probably not two.
Yeah. No, yeah. he looks like, and this is me just stereotyping. He looks like he got along well with the hockey boys. Like he looks like him and the hockey boys were just getting after it. He looks like an absolute nail. He looks like he fits in that hockey house. Did you guys have a baseball house there? I know there was a lacrosse and hockey house.
Yeah, we did. It was kind of, so my freshman and sophomore year, we had a great baseball house, 1133 White Street. And like you talk about getting after it, like, that's where we got after. Yeah. We burned a couch there after the College World Series. Like we we burned that place down. That house is like legendary. And then we had like other kind of smaller houses. Like my junior year, me, Jordan, and Jesse Franklin lived in like a little 3-bed house. And then we kind of had like I said, like other like smaller houses that kind of just like fit around. And maybe that was like going for like more of a low key night. We'd go over there, but 1133 White Street, that was a baseball house.
The goat house.
That was
goat
house. Yeah. They had a kegerator in there.
Yeah. No, dude, it's like, and honestly, when I visited Nosey and at the lacrosse house, it's like, you want to talk about just living the goddamn dream. It's so close. Everything's so close to the stadium there. You're just living the dream, dude. It's like, oh man, it's so electric. People don't realize it, man. And so then when you guys make that College World Series, obviously, like I said, that team was absolutely stacked. Everyone doubted. I don't think one person had you guys winning the Big Ten. Is that correct? Like it was just everyone was.
I don't know like what the preseason predictions looked like or anything like that. But we were hot there for a while in the Big Ten. I think we were leading at one point and then ended up blowing it. But yeah. I feel like we're always up there, right? Whether like we're top 25 or you know, one of like the top five teams in the Big Ten. Like we're always fairly up there. And we were returning a lot of guys that year. So I don't know if they didn't have us in it, but like as far as playing for the national championship, definitely not us.
So when you guys punched that ticket to Omaha, I mean, what was kind of running through your head there? And I heard stories, I believe Coach Bakich, who's an absolute legend. I'm scared shitless of him and I don't even play for him. Was he close to tears that day? Like, or what's the deal with that? Like, what was the speech he gave you? How fired up were you guys after that shit?
Oh, it was a feeling that like you can't even describe. Like, I don't think unless I win like a World Series in the bigs, like I don't know if you'll ever have that feeling again. It was insane. Like, literally, UCLA sucks. Well, they're great at baseball, but the like playing there kind of sucks. Like,
yeah,
especially if you're a UCLA like player. We had more fans in the stadium.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I don't know the exact numbers on this or whatever, but, like, if you look at, like, the Michigan, like, student, like, population or whatever, a majority or, like, the biggest population of students or whatever is from Michigan. And then, like, the second highest population is California kids.
Yeah.
So, California is, like, a huge, like, Michigan, like, I don't know why, but kids love going to Michigan from California. So, when we played at UCLA, like, the place was just filled with maize and blue. Like it was awesome. And literally we dogpiled, it was insane. And we walked over to like the the section of fans or whatever, and we sung the fight song and like at the top of our lungs, and Coach Pat, like, it was as
bad. I got chills.
Yeah, it's literally like a a scene out of a movie, like that kind of deal. And we were just like, our team captain, Ben, or one of our captains, Ben Kaiser, he closed it out that game. I mean, like, it was kind of literally as picture perfect as you can make it. So that was an incredible, incredible feeling. And kind of one of those, like, we had beat UCLA earlier in the year, so we knew we could do it. And we were like, we beat them once. We took game one. We ended up losing game two. But we were like if we're ahead, like, we're winning this game. And we got on top of them, and it was awesome. It was, like I said, something I'll never forget.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Dude, it's just like, I legitimately got chills for that, because obviously you see the work you guys put in. You're absolutely probably running out shit track. Like, you're fall. You're just doing absolute dog shit cardio, like, just in hell. Did you guys have a hell week there? Because I know some schools do.
Like every week, yeah.
Yeah, every week. Because, dude, we like our Texas guy, like, we have a couple guys from Texas on the show. And they told me what they have a week where it's like legit Navy SEAL training. Like, they have Army guys come in and train them, and it's just a week of legitimate hell. But I wanted to talk about Coach Bakich, because Lugbauer said he's one of the best coaches he's ever had, just motivational wise. Yeah. Where, is he one of those guys where you're like legit scared shitless of him, or was he like a player kind of coach?
No, and I hope he hears this. He's soft. No, he's like hands down, like, to go off what Lugbar said, he's the best guy I've ever played for. I mean, he's insane. I don't want to praise him too much because it'll give him a big head, but he is phenomenal. Like, the dude wears like a suit to meetings, like our team meetings. Like, he literally shows up with a PowerPoint presentation with like videos like Jocko Willink on him, and like, we're all just sitting there like so fired up. Like, he really is, like, when you talk about like a motivational coach, like, he knows how to fire you up, and he knows how to coach individual players, right? So he knows the kid that might need to get pulled aside and said like, hey, what's going on? And then he knows that kid that he might need to like single out in front of the group. So he definitely had like a very, very unique coaching style, but also like that coaching style that I think everybody says they want, but only like
certain people want.
Only certain players can handle it. And he got after us, and he pushed us hard, and he literally destroyed our bodies and our confidence all fall. And then when it got to the spring, he's like, our boys, like, let's get after it. And we're like, we just did, you know, hell week or whatever for the entire year. And then now it's just like all happy, like, let's go out there and play. So he, you know, I think he kind of does that by design, but he definitely gets after it, especially in the fall.
So give me a background here, because I don't know if you're the type of guy that likes to get roasted by coaches, kind of light a fire under your ass. Were you on a receiving end of a Coach Bakich roast session? And give us a little example on what happened.
Oh, I'm sure. There's probably too many to count, honestly. I mean, he was definitely the guy that, like, so, like, there was one practice, like, he really got in my head, and I hate that he did this, but there was like we were doing like bump plays or something, you know, stupid or whatever. And I messed up the bump play. He made us like go run, come back. I get back up there. I'm like dog tired. I bobble the ball, like go run again. We're all like dog tired, end of practice. I get back up on the mound, and he looks at me and says, or yells to the team, like, get a right-handed pitcher up there who knows what the heck they're doing. And I just had to walk off and just wear it. Cause I mean, granted, it was my fault. Like I couldn't execute, but that was like, yeah, I mean, and then I got some, you know, other knucklehead, one of my buddies who rounds up there, and he goes, oh, we can do it. You know? All right. You know, so it was, you know, there was moments like that where definitely, you know, if you weren't meeting the expectations or the standards of the program, like, he's going to let you know about it. And you just prayed that it wasn't in front of the whole team.
Yeah, and I'll openly say this. Like, Coach Bakich, I have 1 year of eligibility. Actually, no, I have 2 years. I went 2 years in JUCO and just no offers out of school, 186 average. But I got 2 years of eligibility left. I honestly think, like, every team needs a morale guy. Like, I won't touch the field. Like, I'll never touch the field, but I'm a glue guy, one of the best locker room guys maybe on the planet. Was like every guy on your team at that time just a glue locker room guy? Like, was everything so loose and all that kind of stuff in the, like, the clubhouse, the dugout, all that kind of stuff?
Oh yeah, I think we had a really, really good clubhouse atmosphere. Like, we did everything together. We gave each other a hard time, you know, we shit on each other, and we just, like, we kind of bonded in the fact that, like, we were out there doing drills and doing stuff in the snow. So, like, EB's rule was that if it was over 0 degrees, like, we'd go out and practice. And they'd, like, shovel the field off and, like, plow snow off the field. And I was like, all right, like NDD or, like, pop fly defense, like, communication. And we're just, like our hands are frozen. And he'd, like, take his shirt off and, like, run around out
there.
That's
so nails.
And we would just, like, we would just have to, like, we'd all, like, just hang it up at the end of the day and just, like, kind of come together in the fact that, like, what we were doing was crazy, but we also, like, knew that if we didn't have each other, like, we didn't have anything. So, like, there was no way we would kind of be able to get through the stuff that we had to do if we didn't have each other. So we definitely had, like, really, really good glue guys. We had a ton of, like, really funny, like, guys in the locker room, guys that always knew how to, like, kind of make the atmosphere light, and just kind of keep us all together. So it was definitely a good clubhouse.
And that year that I visited Nosey, and he took me to the lacrosse center. I don't know what it is. It's like a new athletic center.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, this place was idiotic, dude. Like, it looked like, I can't even describe it, to be honest. Like, it looked like a government building. Like, the inside of it, there was, like, a weight room. There was a turf, like, that you could do hill climbs with. It was fucked. Like, I couldn't believe some of the shit that I was seeing. Was the baseball facility kind of like that, or what was, like, the baseball facility?
So that's, like, our what's it called? Like, our South Campus Performance Center. So that's where we lifted. That's where we trained.
Oh, really?
So that, like, that's right by, like, the new lacrosse field.
Yes.
But pretty much every team outside of, I want to say, like, basketball, and I even saw on Twitter, like, this year, Juwan Howard was taking the guys and they're doing, like, obstacle courses and all that kind of stuff, because that place is just a jungle gym. Like, basketball and hockey have their own, like, big facilities, I guess, if you will, and, like, those teams will even go in there sometimes. And then football obviously has Schoenbeckler Hall, so they're never in there. But then every other team on campus uses that place as their
home. Oh, okay.
So there's a little, like, natatorium right across from, you know, like, that little ferry field. It's the
track. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, right across there's a natatorium, which is, like, swimming and diving. And there's a little weight room down there that we went to the fall of my freshman year. But when that place opened up, that's where everybody trains now. So it's, like, it's unbelievable. I mean, like, that's about as state of the art as you can find.
And you want to talk about historic areas in the University of Michigan? I mean, you have to bring up Yost Arena. I mean, yeah. I'm pretty close with Jacob Hayhurst, who was on the hockey team there. I don't know if you were there when he was there. Hayhurst. Yeah. So we went to go visit. I mean, Yost Arena is one of the most historic areas. I mean, you got the Hughes brothers. I mean, when they were there, it's just the hockey team is always good at Michigan. Were you guys because I'm assuming that didn't, like, align with your schedule. Were you guys going to the hockey game and shit like that?
Yeah, I definitely did. I mean, I can't say that I was, you know, at every single game, but most of the time, like, if we'd get out of practice, I'd call it, like, 7 or 8 o'clock or whatever, they'd, like, their games would just be getting going. So we would kind of, like, just run over and, like, check out the hockey game for a couple periods and then, like, maybe go home. But I was good buddies with some of the hockey guys. So I always wanted to kind of go out and check it out. And Joe Donovan, who's from Chicago, is a huge hockey fan. So, like, me and him would run over there every once in a while. So it was tough sometimes, but we got to see plenty of games for sure.
Yeah. It's just, like, I feel bad for the other athletes there because the hockey dudes wheel, like, they pull, like, they, you want to talk about getting girl, like, the hockey guys pull at the University of Michigan. Those guys are absolute legends there. And especially when you mention, I believe the top 3 or 4 picks in the NHL draft this year were all Michigan guys.
Like, yeah, we had 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Yeah, it's so stupid how disgusting that hockey team is. But when you were there, that football, you were there during the year when Michigan football was, like, nationally ranked, like 3 or 4, when that, they had College Game Day against Wisconsin. Do you remember that? Were you there for that year?
I don't know. I think
that's 2018. I don't know if you're there.
Yeah, I think that was my freshman year then. I think that was, yeah.
Because that was when they were undefeated and then they lost to Ohio State. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah, yeah, they lost to Ohio State. Yeah, that was like my favorite year of all time. But yeah, I just remember that. But I want to go into the draft. So you get drafted second round. I believe a lot of Michigan players got drafted in the second round, like a couple pitchers that in the second round or first round, stuff like that, like you said.
Yeah, so that was Carl and Tommy, like those other two guys from – so that was 2019. They went in the second round, and then I went in 2020 in the second round.
Okay, so yeah, anyway, so you get drafted in the second round, and by the way, you want to talk about Michigan Twitter being absolutely spot on. That photo edit of you in the Athletics jersey, holy shit, that shit was fire. I would have put that on my story immediate. No, I wouldn't have put any thank or any congratulations, just that picture. But so you get drafted the second round. Were the A's always that team that was the most interested in you, or was there like other teams knocking on the door there?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough. I know – like, I think there's other guys that can kind of like attest to this. A lot of the times the teams that show the least interest in you end up like taking you.
Yeah. So all the time. Yeah,
so that team that like is calling you every other day and is like asking, you know, what you had for breakfast, like they don't even end up taking you. So I wouldn't say, I knew the area scout Rich Sparks really well. He was my coach at East Coast Pro in high school. And then he was always around Michigan. So I kind of always caught up with him whenever I saw him. So I knew Rich really well. And when I found out that they drafted me, like I was ecstatic because I knew Rich, I knew like he kind of got his guy. I was his guy. And that was like really, really cool. But yeah, I didn't really like I didn't see it coming by any means. I kept going to the draft. I mean, I didn't necessarily know where I was going to go per se. And I didn't have any idea of who it was going to be. So it was definitely kind of a surprise in both of those areas.
Yeah. And then that was the weird draft, right? That was like the COVID draft. Cause that was when Wogan went.
Yeah. It was 5 rounds. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that draft, you go second round. Did you have like a draft party, or were you one of those guys where it's like, I'm not having a draft party just in case I don't go in the first round? And it's like kind of embarrassing. Cause we've had a couple stories of guys having draft parties and it's like their names get called and it's like kind of awkward scene.
Yeah. So the first round, the way that draft worked was the first round was the first day. So usually it's like the first 2 rounds. Which that's what makes it complicated, because guys think they can like, okay, I might not be a first rounder, but I'll be a second rounder and I'll go on day one. And then they end up slipping to like the third or fourth. Like that's when it gets tough. But through my conversations with my agent, I was like, it was kind of one of those like, hey, 99% sure you're not going to go in the first round. So the first day of the draft, I was just with my family and kind of like, hey, if I get called like randomly, which again, we weren't really expecting, I'll be with my family. And then the next day, day two, which was kind of, that was like 2 through 5, I believe. Like that was the rest of the draft.
Yeah.
Me and Wogu had a draft party together. So we went to his parents' house because he's from Ann Arbor. So we went to his parents' house. My family was there. His family was there. The coaches went. Our best friends went. Some of the players and like our friends from Ann Arbor or whatever. We had like a big draft party at his house. I got called second round shortly after he got called in the third round. And then after that, we rented out the jug for that night.
Holy
shit. We literally, me and Wogu rented out the jug for like our post-draft like party, if you will. So we ended up going back to our college house with like a bunch of our friends. Our parents came. We kind of got after it a little bit. And then we were talking to Perry, who like owns the jug. And then when he was ready for us, we went. This was kind of like in the COVID times. I don't want to get in trouble for any of this, but like we weren't necessarily probably supposed to have as many as we did, but I think we still had like, we kept the capacity low, but we had like us and like our best friends like in the jug, and like it was just us.
Well, if it's a private party, I mean, I don't think you can get in shit for that at all, to be honest. Because if you look at the MLB draft videos, especially in that year, there was like 1,000 people in people's houses. Legitimately 1,000 people. And I mentioned it. Our guy went first round, Cade Cavalli. Did you play with Cade too?
Yeah.
He's disgusting. He's disgusting. He's so good. I think he's in AAA now. Yeah. Or AA.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Yeah, so he's gross.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's basically what it was. So we all pushed that place. when I say we rented out the jug, we didn't have the entire place. We had like half. Have you ever been there? Like been
no,
in there?
No.
All right. So the way it is basically like you walk in, there's like the big bar, then like there's like steps down and there's like a back room, right? So we had the back room.
Okay. But, so you had that place. You had like the back room rented out.
Yes. And then after that, we went kind of into the main area, screamed the address of our house, and took everybody in the bar to our house.
That's so all day. That's what dreams are made of. That's what dreams are made of, man. So what bar am I thinking of with the mind probe? Is that
Rick's?
That's Rick's. That place is absolutely electric. I think I think I almost got into a fight with a frat kid when I was there.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Dude, it's actually like, and you talk about stereotypes, like you say, when you think of University of Michigan, there's obviously tons of rich kids there, obviously.
Yeah.
And the frat guys there, I mean, if you're not an athlete there, is there ever beef between the frat guys and the athletes there? Because two alphas trying to go at it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't really have much beef with them ever. We had, we actually had a good relationship with like a couple frats and sororities as well. But like we
humble brag.
With the frat. So we had a bunch of California kids on the baseball team.
Yeah.
And then like all their rich friends went to Michigan and then were in frats. So we kind of had like ins there, like if we ever wanted to. And it was kind of one of those things where like I think everybody wants that like athlete frat drama. But at the end of the day, like half of those frat kids are like betting on us to like win games and stuff. And like, they like low key, like love rooting for us and like love sports anyway. So like I'd say we had like a good relationship with the frat kids. I don't think there was ever any like serious beef between any of us. And we hung out with them and they hung out. Like because once you get to that point too, where you're like, everybody's 21, then you're just pushing the bars anyway.
So, yeah, true. You
know, kind of like, hey, let me into your frat. Well, like that kind of dissipates after your freshman
year. Yeah, no, I wasn't a big frat guy, man. Like, just like they all wear those Vineyard Vine shit. It's like, it's crazy the stereotypical stuff. Like, especially being a Canadian, we don't have many frats here. When you go to those big schools like Michigan, Ohio State, all those areas, like that's legitimately how they dress. Like, it's not a stereotype. Like, there's actual a store on that main road there where the big house is. I believe it's just full of frat shit. I think it's Patagonia. Yeah, there's a Patagonia store on the main street. So it's like it's legitimate a thing there. And then obviously you sign, you get a pretty big signing bonus. Not gonna talk about another man's money. What was the dumbest thing you bought with your signing bonus money? Or what was like the biggest purchase you made?
I bought a truck, so I don't know if that's necessarily like stupid, but I'd always wanted a truck. I drove like a little Chevy Equinox in college. So I got a big Ram 1500 truck. Outside of that, like I've tried to keep it pretty low key. I mean, I wouldn't call myself like a super flashy person. So I'm not going to go out and get like a couple of, you know, Louis or Gucci bags or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I've tried to keep it like under control. I got a couple pair of Yeezys, some Jordans and some stuff that, you know, I like to wear around, but I think the biggest purchase that I made was just my truck.
What truck was it?
It's a Ram 1500.
Okay. There it is. I mean, that's just the Michigan blue collared, hard hat, steel toe boots guy going at it right there, man. That's electric. Right. Yeah. No, but that's crazy because especially a guy like me, who's just a degenerate period. When I see that money hits my account, I don't know. Like how did you get a chance to kind of like soak in that you signed for that much ever? Or like, did you get the chance to look back, look at your account and be like, holy shit, man, this kid from Michigan sign like has a pretty good amount of chunk of change in his bank account right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like it's a nice feeling, but the way it works, it's like it kind of helps the players in a way. Like we get our signing bonuses in 3 installments.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, it takes 3 years to get your full allotment of money anyway, so that's kind of good in the sense that like you're not just getting a ton of money like just deposited into your account like all at once. So yeah. I mean, it's definitely like something nice to, you know, kind of know that you have, but I kind of took that money and gave it to the financial advisor and don't really see much anymore anyway. So it's, you know, kind of good to, or it's a good feeling to know that it's there, but, you know, I still try to live.
What agency are you with?
In my means. I'm with ISC Baseball.
Okay. Our guy Jano's with that. Danny Jansen. He's with that agency. Yeah. On the Blue Jays. No, that's a sick agency. Holy shit, dude. There's a lot of dogs in that agency. So that's a good agency to be with. Obviously you want to be with the big dogs. Like those guys are one of the top dogs, but And then, so you played for an absolute legendary team this year, a team that I actually, when I was 18 underage drinking, I had at their dollar beer night, the Lansing Lugnuts, a team that actually knows about this podcast. They've tweeted at us. They've acknowledged our existence. They love us. What was it like playing for the most legendary minor league team in the Michigan area? I mean, Lansing Lugnuts, incredible name, incredible ballpark, by the way. So, I mean, what was your time like there? It was short-lived, obviously, but what was it like there?
It was awesome. I lived in those outfield lofts, like right at the top of the stadium. So, yeah, it was sick. Literally just like walked down to the yard every day. The Lugnuts fans were awesome. It's obviously right in the heart of Michigan State.
Yeah. So
not like really my area, but I will give it to them. They had like frat nights and sorority nights. Yeah, like Thirsty Thursdays or whatever. I mean, the crowd was like bananas. There was kids everywhere just yelling and screaming and drinking. Like, it was a really, really, really good team to play for, especially in my first year of pro ball, because, you know, you never know where you're gonna end up at. You know, you can be, for us, in West Texas or, you know, on Michigan State's campus. Like, that's such a wide range. So yeah. I was really, really fortunate to be able to play for them. And the PR stuff that they had was awesome. All the, you know, Bark in the Park and White Claws and Paws and like that kind of stuff. Like, it was just a fun environment every day. So it's an awesome affiliate, and I was glad to be there.
I was legitimately heartbroken, because I'm a big Blue Jays guy, when they obviously left the Blue Jays, because we have Blue Jays guys on, and actually one of our guys on this podcast told stories of just the baseball players just absolutely wheeling the sorority girls. I think the Lansing Lugnut players like throwing balls up to get their number, stuff like that. So did sorority night get absolutely rowdy there? Because those drinks there are unbelievably cheap.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I stay in the dugout, so I don't like I know it's a completely different story if you're not in the bullpen, because that's like kind of right in the like thick of things. I stay in the dugout. I like kind of messing around with the position players, and I like watching hitters up close, especially like if you're going to pitch later in the week. Like, I kind of like being there, like being able to kind of study hitters from the opposing team and kind of know what I'm like up against, if you will. So I didn't spend a ton of time like kind of in that, like
in the mix.
Yeah. In that little bullpen, kind of very open view type deal. But from my view, kind of looking down, there was a lot of balls being thrown up in the stands. I think it was definitely good Thursday nights for, you know, the crowd and everything like that.
I love it. I love the Lansing Lugnuts. That's one of the teams that, I mean, this is like early stages of the podcast. They were pumping our tires. I love the Lansing Lugnuts. But one thing about the Lansing Lugnuts as well is RJ's guys used to tell stories about like fans talking about like Bo Bichette and Vladdy when he was there. Did you ever hear any of these legends of these guys? Because I think Bo Bichette hit like 430 in Lansing. Like, he was a freak. Same with Vladdy. So yeah. I'm assuming there's been a couple legends passed on.
Yeah, no, their pictures are everywhere. Like, you walk into the facility or the clubhouse or the stadium or whatever, it's like Stroman's face, Syndergaard's face, Vladdy and Bichette. Like, they're like, all these legends are just like posted all over the stadium. So it's sick. Like, it's cool. I don't know if there's any like, you know, legendary stories about them. I think the only thing that I heard about Vladdy was that he hit our apartment building. Like, a home run. I can't remember like if it was in BP or if it was in a game, but literally it's kind of cool. So like in those outfield lofts, it says like in left field, it's like 481. You know, like if you hit the apartment building, and then if you hit it like in dead center, it's like 530 or something like that. I don't know if those are the right numbers, but somebody told me like, yeah, like Vladdy literally hit one off the apartment building. And I was like, oh, like that's cool. You know, because when you look at it, it's like, oh, it's just like right in the outfield. Like, yeah, like that's feasible. And then you look at it and you're like, okay, then there's like 50 feet of like stands, and then there's the apartment building. That's like 480 something. Like, that's absurd. So like hearing about that, and then like seeing the home runs that, you know, I give up or somebody, you know, hit on our team hits or whatever, like you're like, wow, that's kind of crazy that a human can actually hit the ball that far.
What was like that adjustment for you, especially, I mean, being a guy that is pitching for like on massive stages in the College World Series, all that kind of stuff, to literally you're in low A, is that correct?
That's high.
High A. You're in high A grinding. I mean, I'm assuming the meals aren't that great when you're traveling. It's kind of shit. We always roast it. But I mean, what was that adjustment like for you, where you're like, you have the best facilities in the world, the University of Michigan, and then now you're in high A, Lansing, Michigan, just absolutely grinding?
Yeah, it's a grind. I mean, it's like, it's gritty, right? I mean, literally when we go on the road, we're doing lifts, and like, God bless our strength coach, because he's literally trying to like create these workouts for us and legitimately like the hallway. I mean, like the facilities at stadiums, I mean, like, you got to remember, if they were built 30 years ago or 20 years ago or however long, like, they're just not necessarily, they weren't built to like accommodate 20 guys wanting to go in and lift at once, right? So they're like just smaller weight rooms. I mean, they're underground and everything. And you just kind of have to make do with what you got. And I think that's kind of the blessing and the curse of like minor league baseball. It's obviously hard. And it's, you know, when you're looking at it from like a professional aspect, you know, you're not getting professional.
Yeah, no, it's the living conditions are shit. I mean, yeah, we say it all the time.
But at the same time, you're kind of learning what it takes. Like, you have to learn something about yourself, right? Like, are you going to be the guy that uses that as an excuse? Like, okay, you know, oh, I didn't pitch well today because I had to roll out in the hallway. You know, like, you kind of have to learn like what you have down, like deep down within, which is also kind of cool in itself. Cause you know, it's tough, but it is what it is. And I think it makes you better.
I mean, what's going on here? Are you going to be I'm assuming you've adapted to the beard. I've seen pictures of you at Michigan clean shaved. Are you a beard guy now or a clean shave guy? What's going on there with that?
Yeah, I think I'm a beard guy now. I've had it for a while. I do like it, man. I don't know. There's just something about it. I do like it. So I think I'm a beard guy, at least for now. We'll see.
So we're going to confirm that. We're going to put that in the bio of the interview, confirmed beard guy now, because obviously I think it looks more intimidating having the beard. Like, the baby face is kind of electric, though. Those pictures of you at Michigan. I got to bring up this. I'm creeping your profile here. The elf outfit. What's going on there with that? What made you guys dress up as Elf and Santa for Christmas? By the way, an absolute incredible, incredible costume you got going on there. Give us the backstory on that. Like, was that your idea? Whose idea was that?
That's just Halloween, man. I mean, so I guess let's put it this way. You're a poor college kid. You got no money. What's the best Halloween costume? True. A costume that you can wear for Christmas.
True.
So it's a 2-in-1. When all the Christmas, you know, celebrations are happening, you got the Santa costume. You need a Halloween costume, you're Santa and Buddy the Elf.
True. No, that's genius. And especially seeing now with the NLI stuff, you mentioned being a broke college student. What would have been one thing you try to finesse as a college athlete, especially for a massive baseball team like that? Would you have tried to sign with like a dealership, maybe a shoe company, like get some free shoes, get a car? Like, what's one thing you would finesse? Maybe Chick-fil-A. I don't know. But what's one thing right. that you would try to get your way into with the
NLI? I don't know, man. I mean, because I don't even know how it's working. Like, I got to ask my buddies who are playing right now, like at Michigan, if they're, you know, doing stuff. Because obviously the Barstool thing's cool, right? I probably would have gone for the Barstool athlete thing. I think clothes and shoes are like big ones, right? Like, if there's smaller companies, or, you know, I was by no means getting like a Lululemon deal or something, you know, you're not the starting quarterback. But yeah. Yeah, I think if I could have tried to finesse like some clothes or some shoes or something like that, I think that would have been really cool. Other things, maybe like, I've seen some kids do stuff with like hydration companies. I think kind of stuff like that's cool. When you talk about like, I mean, we obviously have supplements and all that kind of stuff provided for us, but like also just like hydration companies, recovery type stuff. Like, I think like right now I'm actually working on maybe like doing something with like a red light company. I think that's kind of like a new like form of like recovery and like therapy and stuff like that. So I think I would probably have explored those two things, you know, maybe some clothes and shoes, and then maybe some like recovery type stuff. Would I have loved to deal with like Nike or something? Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. I don't know if that would have been, I'm very positive that wouldn't have been in the cards, but definitely a cool thing. And I think it's really good that they're letting the guys do that. So it'll be interesting. I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy that we're in the year 2021 and that's finally like actually a thing. It's just the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life that it's now. And they're not even giving Reggie Bush his Heisman. I mean, what are we doing there with that? Reggie Bush deserves the Heisman back. I mean, that guy was a freak of nature. So right. it's crazy. But and we'll end it off with this, because this episode drops next Thursday. We're recording this on the 23rd, so this drops on the 30th. hopefully when this drops, our spirits are still high with the University of Michigan facing Rutgers this weekend. I'm a little bit on the edge with it because I mentally, being a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, fan of the Blue Jays, fan of all these teams, I always mentally prepare for the heartbreak coming up soon, especially right. with Michigan when they lost by 1,000 to Ohio State that year in 2018 in Ohio State. So what is your, I mean, where do you feel, I mean, how do you feel about the University of Michigan? Obviously you said you're like confident with the team, but this is the best I've ever felt since that year. I mean, the defense is fucking insane.
Yeah.
I don't mind McNamara. He doesn't throw the ball that much. The running backs are obviously, they run the ball a shit ton, especially with Jim Harbaugh, but what do you expect from the team this year? Like, are we talking top 10 in the nation? Cause I think they snuck in the top 21, right? They're in 21st yeah. right now.
I'm going next week against Rutgers. I'm going like 42-14. I think we handle them well. As far as my end of season prediction, it might be too early to say. I mean, you know, you gotta give respect to everybody that they've played. You know, they've tried their hardest and everything. But when you look at it, they haven't really played, you know, anyone yet, right?
No, they haven't.
That, you know, they haven't played anyone yet. So, I think Wisconsin at Wisconsin.
I'm preparing for that. That's going to be heartbreak. Right. It's going to be.
So after Wisconsin at Wisconsin, I think we'll have a better idea what we're going to end up like. Because I actually went to one of those games my freshman year. When they played at Camp Randall, that was an incredible atmosphere, by the way. Talk about an absolute blast. Like, that was probably, outside of like Michigan football games, that's the second best like place I've ever watched a football game at. And it's not like I've toured around the country, but that's an awesome atmosphere to jump around. I have to give them that. So I think after seeing them there, it'll be a little bit easier to say what we have for the end of the year. But I'm hoping if we're a top 10 team, I mean, I think we get there.
They're top 20 right now. Michigan's 19th. So it's like, yeah. And Michigan's get it. I mean, Michigan's 20.5-point favorites. I might have to hammer Michigan this weekend. They're an absolute wagon. But that game against Wisconsin next week, I'm leaving myself a mental note, just mentally prepare for, I mean, the Camp Randall's a nightmare to play in. So
it is, yeah.
Penn State beat them there though. So we'll see. But anyways, man, I mean, the last thing, you're obviously recovering. You're playing the Arizona Fall League. There's going to be some absolute freaks of nature you're playing against in that league. I believe our guy Cole Franklin's playing in there for the Cubs.
Yep. Yeah.
You know Cole?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, so what team are you playing with there? Cause I know some of the teams are like added up right together.
Yeah, that's how they all are. So I'll be on Cole's team. We're the Mesa Solar Sox. So I believe, and I might get this wrong, but it's like us, Cubs, Mariners, maybe like the Orioles too or something like that. So, and I actually, we might be with the Blue Jays.
I have no idea.
I think we're with the Blue Jays too. So we're all kind of added up. I know Cole just from being down here in Arizona. We have some mutual friends, but
yeah.
Yeah, no, I know there's going to be some studs all across. I mean, everyone there is going to be a stud. So I'm really excited to kind of see that competition. And I'm very, very grateful for the A's being able to give me that opportunity. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and credit to me, obviously, I should have done my research. I mean, you're the number 14th prospect for the Athletics. I'm assuming you don't, you might know that, you might not know that. But that's, I mean, that's the, so MLB pipeline here is pumping your tires, man. So they have high, I mean, that you love to see it. But, and this is what we always do with the guests here. When you make that debut, I'm going to need maybe a text message. I'll get your number down. We'll figure something out, but I'm going to need to be there. Maybe we'll figure something out there for that debut. Hopefully it's in Toronto. We just get luckier on the north side of the US. But I mean, let me know what that debut, send me the Drake gift saying let's go or anything along those lines. But I want to be one of the first 5 to 10 people that know that you're making the show.
Okay. All right. I'll put you on the list there. That's for sure.
Well, anyways, man, I mean, it was a pleasure to have you on. Obviously, we're just going to pretend I went to Michigan. Just two Michigan guys going at it. Just an electric interview. And Michigan baseball, this is your last chance. Because, listen, Maryland baseball acknowledged us on Twitter. I was close to being their guy. I was close to being a fan of the Maryland baseball team. Also because of Kevin Smith. But Michigan baseball, last opportunity, acknowledge the podcast. It's all in Jeff's hands here because if you're on my bad side, that's it. I mean, I'm never going to pump the tires again. But anyways, Jeff, man, I mean, electric interview, dude. Keep doing your thing. And obviously, I'm excited to see what you do in the fall league facing absolute dogs. I mean, I might have to make an appearance. We'll see. I might come down to AZ.
Yeah, you might as well. It's a great great atmosphere down here. So hey, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it. This was a ton of fun. So thanks again.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.